Up next on the Handy Guys podcast, a yearly do-it-yourself springtime home inspection.
Welcome to the Handy Guys podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
Welcome to the Handy Guys podcast. This is episode number 57. And Brian, I want to know a little bit more about what you're talking about for the Handy Guy in this annual spring maintenance. What do we really need to do every year?
Okay. Well, before we do that, let's
I don't want any contact information. I want to know now. Because you said spring, and I don't know. It doesn't feel quite like spring right now around the Handy Guy studio. I mean, I know it's springtime, you know, on the calendar. It's around when spring is supposed to be here, but I don't know. I haven't seen Punxsutawney Phil lately.
It was it was in the 50s today.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess it's getting there, at least in this part of the country, but it's a little bit slow. All right. You can give out the contact information, then we'll find out more about what this maintenance thing is all about.
Okay. So you can always call us at 615-676-0877 or email us at handyguyspodcast.com or go to our website and fill out the contact form.
All right. So, Brian, I'm just joking. I realize that if you're a homeowner, there are a lot of things to do around the house. The honey-do lists are long, and there's a lot of projects. But in addition to your honey-do lists and your projects, there's some things you need to inspect, you know, basic inspections of your house at least once a year.
That's right. You know, we're talking preventative maintenance here. You're going to want to, every year, walk around your house and do a do-it-yourself home inspection, in a sense. And check certain things to make sure you don't have an upcoming addition to your honey-do list of things to do. And if you get on certain things sooner rather than later, you're going to avoid expensive and more elaborate and costly repairs down the road.
Are these inspections outside or inside the house?
They're both.
Okay.
We're going to follow the path of what a traditional home inspector is going to do. Starting at the outside, top to bottom, move inside and walk through the house, and what to look for in various places in your house.
So a lot of times, especially if you're in the north, you may have had a long, dark winter, and there could be things going wrong with your house that you may not even have realized.
That's right. I know I had one that I took care of it this winter already, but you know, sometimes it doesn't get noticed till spring. So starting on the outside, first thing, look at your roof. And make sure you don't have any shingles blown off or, you know, obvious signs of deterioration. And if you've got a little cheap pair of binoculars, you know, get out and step back from your house and take a close look.
I know when I bought my house, there was a missing shingle on the roof, and I would have never known it if the home inspector hadn't gotten up there on the ladder and inspected it a little closer. I just couldn't even see it from the street.
Right, and you can, you know, with a little pair of binoculars, you can see those kind of things.
So. That's a good idea. Now, let's say, and I've had this happen. You know, we it's very windy where I live. I live up on a ridge. If you have a shingle that's blown off, what do?
You replace it.
So how do you replace a single shingle?
Well, I don't know if we're going to get into replacing shingles and, you know, all the things you got to do on this show.
But how do you, is that something that a DIY person can do, and how do you match it? And I don't necessarily need to know how to do it, but what's my first step there?
Well, what your first step is going to be is to, one, make sure you're going to be comfortable up on that roof, that you have a ladder that can reach, and that the pitch of the roof is not too steep that you're going to slide off. So you got to consider safety first.
All right. So then maybe we can have another show on how you might replace a shingle.
That might be a, you know, a quick video tip or something like that. We could show that, right?
Sure. Good idea. All right. So you need to look for shingles and problematic. Any other areas on the roof you need to inspect?
Yeah. Moving down from the roof, look at your gutters, especially in areas where you've got wind or snow. Snow can slide down the roof and it can pull your gutters away from the house. I had that happen. That was the one thing that happened to me. So look at your gutters and see if they're attached properly. If they're not, again, it's a ladder. If you've got a tall enough ladder, and reattach them if they're pulling away from the house.
Great. Where do we go next?
Okay. From there, look around at all of the painted surfaces outside. especially your exterior doors and garage doors where they are close to the ground. That's the first place you're going to see peeling paint. And it's a common place for rot. So if you've got peeling paint, you want to scrape it, you want to prime it, you want to repaint it, especially around the bottom edges of the doors where a lot of water and stuff over the winter has splashed up there.
What about the door jams on your garage door, the trim pieces? It seems like where they hit the ground or your asphalt
That's
driveway,
right.
they my paint is doing okay, but inevitably they rot out because they absorb the moisture through the end grain.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. So take a look there. The first sign that they're going to start to rot is peeling paint. And then once that paint peels and then everything else starts rotting as well. So that bottom edge should have a little bit of caulk on it after you've done your painting, wherever it meets either the concrete
right.
or the asphalt
to
or whatever.
To keep the
water from getting in
okay.
there.
Good point. All right. What else? What's next?
Okay. That's the last thing you want to check outside is to just make sure you've got a positive slope in the grade in your landscaping away from the house.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's a common problem. It leads to moisture in basements. It's the most common cause of moisture in basements. So if you've last year, if you've built up all that mulch in your flower beds and everything, and it's heaped up and causing water to lay against your foundation, make sure that that's that you add that to your list if you've got that problem. And also that the bottom of your downspouts are extended away from the house.
Sure. And I know, you know, speaking of the mulch there, Brian, I know a lot of folks, experts recommend, especially if you're in an area where there's termite problems, that you shouldn't even have mulch up against the house.
That's right. So. Absolutely not against any siding, anything like that. Mm-hmm. If you've got an exposed concrete foundation, it's okay to have the mulch against that. But you don't want to have any sort of a bridge for termites to get into the wood framing. So if you've got dirt against wood, you need to not have that.
So making sure your downspouts are moving water away from the house, making sure that they're still all hung properly, along with your gutter work, as you mentioned before. Okay, where do we go next? So
okay.
So far, everything's been exterior.
Driveway.
Oh.
Take a look at your driveway. If you've got an asphalt or blacktop driveway, check it for cracks. Cracks form in the winter, usually. You might need to reseal your driveway. If it's an asphalt driveway, if it's a concrete driveway and it's got cracks on it, there's patching material for that, either in a caulk tube for little cracks or you can mix it up like a mortar and fix those cracks.
So if it's asphalt and you have very small cracks, then you can just resurface it or put the seal on it and that's
it
good
comes
enough
in
for
a
cracks?
Yep. Yeah, there's two kinds of that seal. There's a more of a liquid type that is... Some people just call it paint for driveways,
right?
And that's not going to do such a good job if you've got cracks. And there's some that actually has a binder material or a sand kind of stuff. It's thicker, and that will fill in small cracks.
What about sidewalks? If you have front walks and they're concrete and they crack.
Right. Little cracks are okay in those. You know, there's two types of concrete. Concrete that's cracked and concrete that's going to crack, right? So little hairline cracks... There's not much you can do about this, but if you've got a wide crack that's opened up, you're going to want to get that repaired or it's just going to get worse.
What about, I know over the winter we had a lot of ice and we get a lot of the concrete has been broken up on the surface. Is it called it's parged or what's the term for that?
It's called scaling.
Scaling, oh, okay.
Right, parging is a technique to resurface.
Yeah.
Right.
So scaling, there's not much you can do about that, is there?
There's not. You can resurface it, but...
It just falls apart the next winter.
Yeah, it's going to come off. So.
And I think, I don't know how much it happened, I think it happened from chipping away at the ice from the shovel is what causes a lot of that.
It's self-inflicted
in some cases.
It
could be from the salt and the moisture...
Right.
Melting the ice and then the water getting into the grooves and refreezing and causing breaking it up. Okay, so what about the expansion joints? I notice on some of my sidewalks where they'll put a joint after so many slabs of sidewalk and they'll use like a felt material for the expansion joint.
Yes.
And that will eventually deteriorate and fall out. Do I need to caulk back into those gaps, or do I need to do anything?
No, you don't need to do anything with that.
Okay, that's just there for when they form the concrete, and I don't need to worry about those gaps.
You don't need to worry about those gaps.
Okay, where do we head next?
Okay, we're going to go inside now, and we'll start from the top and work our way down.
All right, we'll do that right after this.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? Why not search the Handy Guys Archive at handyguyspodcast.com?
Okay, we're back in the house now, Brian, and we need to inspect what?
Okay, well, your home inspector, the next thing he's going to do likely is go into the attic and look for various things. For our annual spring do-it-yourself home inspection, we're going to stay out of the attic. So,
all right.
From there, we're going to go into the bathrooms.
Okay.
So in the bathrooms, you're going to look for, first thing we're going to look for is caulk. Right? Do you have any caulk that's deteriorated around, you know, where the tub meets the wall or the or around the countertop? That caulk, you know, you've had a lot of temperature changes in the winter, and you know, the house moves and that caulk can crack. So if you've got any loose caulk, you're going to want to get that taken care of, repair that, replace the caulk, re-caulk.
And what kind of caulk do we typically use in the bathrooms?
Silicon is a pretty common caulk to use in the bathroom.
It's also the hardest to remove and clean up, and it's also the messiest to install.
Right. It does last the longest, though.
Sure.
But it's not good if you're going to be painting. So you don't want to use silicone and then somewhere where you need to paint over it. So we'll be talking about caulks in more detail in another show.
Okay.
The other thing you're going to want to do is look at the shutoff valves for all of your faucets, toilet. And check for drips.
Sure.
It's a common place, you know, where the handle enters the body of the valve to have a little drip or a leak there.
The shutoff valve is often a very cheap component on that toilet, too.
Yes, it is. So see if you have any drips there. And then also just check your faucets for drips out of the faucet itself. If you find any of those, let us know, and we'll talk you through repairing those kind of leaks.
And also listen to our toilet show to determine if your toilet is leaking.
That's right. You may have a running toilet, could be a bad flapper, and that may need to be addressed. So that's another thing you can check.
Okay. And then also, what about grout lines, Brian, and tile?
Sure. If you've got tile, check your grout. You know, it may just be discolored and, you know, need to have a little bleach to clean it. But if you've got missing grout, you're going to want to replace that missing grout. And you can get some grout at the home center and mix it up and fill it in there. It's a pretty easy process.
All right, I'm done with the bathroom. Where do I go next?
Okay. Now you're going to do the bedrooms and the hallway, so you're going to check your smoke detector batteries. People recommend replacing those annually, whether they need it or not. Some people say do it at daylight savings time. Some people say do it on your birthday. Whenever. Just if you haven't changed your smoke detector batteries in a long time, just go ahead and do it.
Now, even if you have them hooked up to your electrical system, they all have batteries as a backup. And you've probably noticed when those batteries get low, they begin to chirp. My system, they all chirp, so it's very difficult to determine where the bad battery is, except that I think the one that's bad may
have... Well, you're supposed to do them all at once.
Yeah, maybe. The one that's bad has a light, but it's not an on-all-the-time light. It blinks every minute or two. So you got to walk around to each one and stare at it until the next time it blinks to determine if it's the one that has a bad battery. So.
Well, my smoke detectors, Paul, blink all the time.
Right.
Every 5 seconds, a green little light blinks.
So do mine.
I can't sleep. I took a black Sharpie marker and I colored in the light because it was driving me nuts.
There you go, Brian. That's safety first. Right? I guess you got to get your sleep if you're going to be safe.
Right.
Yeah, I don't really understand. Mine are goofy too because, like I said, they all chirp. And not only that, but there's also another light that blinks every once in a while. And it's not battery related. It's something else. I'll have to look into it. I looked at the instructions once, and I think you just needed to test it or reset them or something.
Right. I mean, mine blink when their batteries are good. I mean, they just blink tell you they're working.
Yeah, mine, I think, are blinking. Mine don't blink normally, but there is another reason besides just battery that they'll blink, and you're supposed to do something. I think you have to test them or something. I don't know. We need to do a whole show on smoke detectors.
Maybe we do. It sounds like we do.
So, all right. So I've checked the smoke detectors. I'm going around the house. Now where?
Okay. So we're done upstairs. We can go downstairs into the kitchen. And there we're going to do similar things like we did in the bathroom. We're going to check for drips on the faucet. We're going to check our caulking, things like that.
You often get drips and water underneath the sink.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Look under the sink. Pull all those cleaning supplies and whatever else you have under there and check for leaks.
Look for mouse droppings.
That's a good point. You know, as you're walking around the house, if you see anything out of place, add it to your honeydew list. And if it's mice, you know, get your poison or your traps or whatever you prefer to get rid of the mice.
Old-fashioned traps.
They kind of work the best.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things I didn't mention is you come in the house, check your weather stripping.
Yes.
So you've got weather stripping around your doors, around windows perhaps, depending on the kind of windows you have, and check to make sure that's in good condition.
All right, Brian, I actually have a door that leads to my garage that has weather stripping, and it's failing. It's part of it is broken away underneath it. How do you, we don't need to have a whole show on replacing the weather stripping, but how do I replace it? Do I need to take the door off the hinges and work on it that way?
No. The weather stripping on your door probably is the type that fits into a little saw kerf, a little thin groove.
Right. I believe that's correct.
And you'll probably just be able to pull it out of that groove and then take it to the home center and match it up. You'll find something that'll match.
Cool.
And it just pushes into that groove and you're good to go.
The way I've seen it is if I don't fix it, that it just helps me refresh the air in the house.
You know? Right. It keeps the air circulation going. Yeah. Maybe that's a good thing.
Up next, well, we have some more ideas on areas in the home where you need to inspect and probably do it about every year.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
Okay, we're back, Brian, with the spring annual or annual spring maintenance of your house. What are some other areas of the house we should?
So we've gone outside, we've come inside, we've checked weather stripping, we've gone in through the bathrooms, we've gone through the kitchen. Check out your carpets. Maybe it's a good time to shampoo the carpets. You get a lot of wear and tear on those. So go rent a machine or get a machine, borrow it from somebody. Shampoo your carpets if they need it or add that to your list. Now we're going to move into the basement.
Oh, no. Is this like another episode to our basement series?
No. We won't add this to the basement series. But down your basement, there's a number of things you're going to want to look at. First, look at all your shutoff valves. So you've got your main water shutoff valve coming into the house. Check there for drips and leaks. It may not be obvious. You may see just a crusting of minerals or a blue discoloration on your copper pipes or something. That can indicate that there is a very, very small leak. And you want to address those before they get really bad.
Sure.
So check all the, overhead shutoff valves and pipes and so forth and look for leaks there. And then move on to your furnace. If you have a forced air heating cooling system.
Filter.
You have a filter. And hopefully you know how to change your filter.
And hopefully you do it more than once a year. Normally you need to do it, depending on the type of filter you use, more often than that. But it's a good time to do it in the spring because it's when you're going to be eventually switching over to the air conditioning and you'll have a nice clean filter for when the air conditioning
comes. You've been running it all winter. You haven't, so go ahead and pull that out. Find out what size you have. Take it with you, write it down or take it with you to the hardware store and get a replacement and get that installed. Okay. There's one more thing I was thinking on the electrical. So as you're walking around, check your electrical. And what I'm talking about there is a common source of problems in electrical is overloaded circuits. So if you've got, one of these power strips with 97 things plugged into it, things like that, maybe you want to consider upgrading from a double outlet to a quad outlet,
right.
Four plugs or something like that, upgrading your circuits. Look for extension cords under carpets and, things that you shouldn't be doing that maybe you did do.
Tangled underneath a bed or something, where somebody's tried to hook up a radio or something like that.
Yeah, because, you get those wires that, if you've got the leg of, the foot of your bed sitting on your clock radio wire, it could be deteriorating the wires and cause a problem.
I have another possible issue, Brian. I want to see what you think of this. In
Go for it. Winter is
when you know you have your drier air, especially in the northerly climates, and trim counters, everything contracts, and so wherever you have caulk lines or you've used caulk, say crown molding and other things, it starts to pull away.
It can,
and if it happens at all, you know, if you didn't have enough caulk in there, you start to see, you know, in your trim sometimes openings and things like that. When's the best time to fix that? Is should you wait, or should you do it while the wood is still dry, and then while you have that opening and re-caulk it, or should you, you know, when should you do it?
I think that's a perfect time to do it. So if you've got wood that's expanding and contracting, when it's contracted, when it's driest, that's the best time to caulk, because if you caulk it when it's humid and it's swollen, then as it shrinks in the wintertime, it's going to pull away.
Right.
Same with installing a wood floor. Ideal time to do it is in low humidity.
Sure.
So that those flooring joints don't open up, for example.
I always do my work in the summer, so that's why I have that issue. Because I on trim and crown molding, I end up caulking it then, and then it's not right.
Right. What's the expression that a friend of mine likes to use? A little caulk, a little paint makes a carpenter what he ain't.
Right.
Is that the expression? Right.
I love caulk.
Right. Painter's caulk is a good thing.
So. One other thing, though, Brian, is that I have an interesting story. I moved into my house a few years ago, and in the winter, I noticed that there was this one gap on the landing on our stairwell where you go up halfway, and then it changes direction, the stairwell, and there's a wood floor. It's oak, and there was a gap in the piece of wood between the long end of one piece of wood and the next, and it was getting bigger and bigger. And I thought, well, it's just wintertime, of course. I said, that's a shame, though. It's right there. I see it every time I go up and down the steps. And it got so big. I'm like, this is odd. I can't believe how big this gap's getting. I can't believe the wood could contract that much. And then I just realized it was, one of the pieces was loose. I just had to slide it back. So
it was pretty strange.
It was an easy fix. So,
well, that's good. So, did you glue it in there?
I still haven't done anything. I just every once in a while I go up there and I make sure if I see a little gap opening, I slide it back.
It
with my foot and it's tight again.
There you go.
Sometimes fixes are that easy.
Well, maybe you got to get a little Gorilla Glue or Mighty Putty or you know.
It's not so loose that I can lift the piece up, but it goes back and forth, but you know.
Right, must not have been nailed.
All I know, I don't think it is nailed, and all I know is the fix is so simple that I've not done anything with it since I realized it was that simple. So, okay, so those are the things for the house, and it's interesting, a lot of people, you know, if you don't do this, I mean, you can obviously not follow this advice at all and not inspect your house. But what will happen is something will get missed, and that's when you run into problems down the road.
That's right.
So it's really wise to go through. You know, you don't want to have a roof leak in through a blizzard or something like or a hurricane because you missed seeing that there's a tile missing from your roof.
Exactly. And, this preventative maintenance stuff, and it's going to avoid problems down the road.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks, Brian, for your advice on the spring maintenance inspection. And we'll be back next week with another Handy Guys podcast.
Thanks. Bye.
Want to be notified of every new Handy Guys podcast episode? Simply enter your email address in our subscription box at handyguyspodcast.com.